And I just thank God just for who he is, because this weekend as I was in my word, as I was studying, as I was reading, I read about this man named Charles Spurgeon. And if you know, he's a famous pastor. And I was reading about his testimony. And it's just a small testimony of just how God encouraged me this week, just in preparation for the word. Because my word for this year is comforting. So I'm like, Lord, I know that you've called me to do this thing. So I have to walk in confidence. I have to stand in confidence that you are going to be here with me. And so when I began to read about the testimony about how Charles Spurgeon came to the Lord, it was on his way to church. He was walking to his church and there was a snowstorm. And the snowstorm detoured him to go to another church. And when he went to another church, a pastor was also supposed to speak at that church as well. Well, because of the snowstorm, the pastor was not able to make it. So he said it was one person in the congregation got up and just opened, went to Isaiah 45:22 and kept saying, "Look unto me and be ye saved," and kept saying it over and over and over again. And he said on that day he gave his life to the Lord. And what encouraged me about the story, yes, that he gave his life to the Lord, but God was trying to tell me that it's about his word. It wasn't the eloquent speech. It wasn't the big words. It wasn't the fanciness. It was just the pure word, the pure gospel that was being preached on that day that brought him to the Lord. And so I thank God just for encouraging me to give me for me to be able to read that and to know that today I'm just giving y'all the pure word. I don't have the fancy words. I don't have the eloquent speech. I'm just here to do what God has called me to do and to give you all the word. And that's it. And the Holy Spirit will do what the Holy Spirit does with the word. And so we will be going to Numbers 21, and I'm going to be starting at the 4th verse. And the title for today is Look and Live. Look and Live. And so again, we're going to be at Numbers chapter 21, starting at verse 4. And I'm going to read 4 and 5, and you just can stand for the word for verses 4 through 5. And then you all can be seated for the remaining of the reading. And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." You may be seated. Amen. And going back to verse 4, it talks about that the Israelites, they were on a journey. Just as we are on this journey called life. And for every one of us, I hope that the end goal is to be with Jesus, is to have eternal life. And so the Israelites, they are on this particular journey. They're on this journey to the promised land. They're on this journey to the promised land. Again, just how we are on this journey. And they are traveling. And so it tells us that they had to go by way of the Red Sea, and they also had to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And so if you know anything about the Israelites, God saved them. They were in bondage in Egypt. And so God saved them. And now God was leading and directing them to the promised land. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" And so they begin to complain because the fourth verse tells us that they were discouraged because of the way. What does that mean? Because of the way that they had to go, it took a little longer than what they expected. And so because it took a little longer than what they expected, they got weary in their journey. And so I'm reminded that we are just like the Israelites. That we get weary because the journey is taking a little longer than what we expect it to be. We begin to complain. We begin to murmur. We begin to question and ask why. But as I was digging a little deeper, the reason why they had to compass the land of Edom wasn't even God's doing. They couldn't go straight through Edom because it was some animosity. It was some beef. If you know that Edom is the descendant of Esau. And if you know Esau is the twin to Jacob. And if you know about their situation, Esau sold his birthright for some food. And so then there was some jealousy that was creating. You see the generational curses, and it just go from generation to generation. And so it wasn't even God doing that. He wanted to take them through Edom, but because of sin, but because of our past, but because of the decisions that we make, that we have to go a roundabout way to get to where God is taking us. And so they begin to murmur. They begin to complain a lot like us, that we murmur and that we complain. And then they begin to speak against and that's the first thing that we do. We don't even ask, well, what did I do? You don't even see, okay, well, why did we have to go this journey? Why did we have to go this way? We first thing we say is, God, why did you do this? Lord God, why am I going through this? He's the first one that we begin to blame for things that go on in our lives. And we don't even sit back and ask ourselves, what have we done? Because if you know the type of God that we serve, he ain't even like that. Like, he wants what's best for us. Amen. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore ye have brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. We are soon to forget what the Lord has done. This is the same God that when they were crying out in Egypt because they were heavy burdened, he came to rescue them. This was the same God that when he seen that his people was in distress, he came to rescue them. This is the same God that when we were in our home or in church or wherever we was, when we was crying out and saying, Lord, that we need you. We need you to come and see about us. We need you to heal our broken heart. This is the same God, but we soon forget because we get in our feelings. We get in our feelings and then we begin to question what God is doing. But not realizing that if he took you out of where you were and he's taking you to where he wants you to go, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And they begin to say, to die in Egypt, to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread. That's a lie. For neither is there is no water. If you read the chapter before it, God had just, Moses can't even enter into the promised land because out of his anger, he struck the rock and provided them water. So I know God has been providing for them. He has been giving them manna. And then they have the nerve to say that we are tired, that we hate the manna that you are providing us. And that's the same thing that we do. That God, you have been leading me up into this point. Now I'm tired. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to do what you have told me to do. I don't want to obey. I don't want to forgive. And that is what they're saying, like, no bread. I provided you with manna, no water. Every time you complained and said that you were thirsty, I provided you with what you need. But just because you're on this difficult journey, because the word says that it's worth it. This journey is going to be hard. The word tells us to pick up our cross and die. So this journey is going to be hard, but it's so much worth it. It is so worth it. But because of the fact that they were in their feelings, because of the fact that what they were feeling reminded them when they were in Egypt. And so because of the feelings, because of what they reminded when they were in Egypt, they went back to thinking that God was not there. So many times we can be free, but we can still be in bondage. Many times the Lord has freed us. The Lord said that you can walk in victory, but many times we're still in the trauma. We still have trauma. So because of the fact that on this long and hard journey that they were on, that it reminded them, something reminded them of what they went through. And so they just wanted to go back. And many times we just want to go back. Well, I should have just stayed where I was. But we often compare God to the world, and he's nothing like the world. He's nothing like the world. And I was listening to this clip, and it says, and this guy was talking to this young boy, and he was angry. And he said, instead of giving into the anger, walk away from it. Because when we give into the anger, we sin. When we give into the emotions, we begin to question God as if God wasn't, if God hasn't been there. When we give into our feelings, we begin to think that God is just like man, and he's not. And that is what happened. The Israelites were thinking that God was just like man just because of them being tired in their body, just for them being tired. But to know that if this is the same God that delivered me from Egypt, this is the same God that's going to get me through this phase of this journey. This is the same God that's going to get me over this obstacle. This is the same God that's going to be near me. This is the same God that's going to take care for me. This is the same God that is going to provide for me. And we soon forget. Let's not forget of what all that God has done for us. Amen. And then verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses. Reading the sixth verse again, it says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. Because of their complaining, the Lord sent judgment. The fiery serpents was a consequence for their sin. And so because of the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. The consequences of their sin allowed, judgment was the consequences of their sin. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. So because of our complaining, we receive judgment. And so it looks different. And so for the Israelites, it looked as far as a serpent. Why would God use a serpent? And so we think about Adam and Eve, and we think about in the garden, and we think about how the serpent was deceiving, and how the things that he said had Eve to question what God was doing. So the serpent is sin. And so he sent the serpents to remind the people of their sin. And sometimes when we be in our murmuring, and we be in our complaining, and we be in our questioning, and we be in our sin, we don't realize it. It don't hurt bad enough. But if you read in those scriptures, it said the serpent, the sin began to bite them. So they were fiery sin, poisonous serpents that fought, that bit them. And then they began to feel the impact of their sin. And so, and because they felt the impact of their sin, they cried out to God to save them. And see, that's the type of God that we serve, that although that we're in our sin, that although we be in our complaining, that we're in our questioning, that even though he's just and he's going to bring judgment, because that's just the God, he's a just God. He's a loving God. And so because he's also just, he's also merciful. He's also gracious. He's also will forgive us in our wrongdoing. And so we see the word, we see the Lord here, that although he's bringing judgment, that he's also going to provide them with grace. And we see that their consequences lead them to repentance. And that's what it's all about, that although we fall short of the glory of God, that we can go to him and that we can repent and be saved. That we can go to him and we can say, Lord, forgive me, and we can turn away from our sin. And so that is how good that our God is, that although he brings judgment, that he does hold that against us, that he continues to welcome us into relationship with him. Amen. And therefore the people, I'm sorry, and we are at verse 8, and it says, the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh up, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And so I thank God for those scriptures, because it showed us that God was giving the Israelites a remedy, that he was giving them the prescription, that he was giving them the answer to their sin. And that, and I thank God for just that. And I was like, as I was reading, I said, God, you didn't remove the sin. You didn't remove the serpents. You didn't remove it. If you read that, it says that if they were bitten, they had to look up to, they had to look to the bronze serpent to be healed. And it's like, Lord, you didn't remove that, because we fall short, like I said before. And the thing is that we fall short in that we sin, but God provides us with a remedy. God provides us with a way that we can look to him and we can be healed. That's what he did for the Israelites. So instead of removing the sin, because it's easy for us, he could have removed sin in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He could have just quickly removed. But what he did, he had a plan. He had a plan to reconcile them. He has a plan. He has a plan to reconcile us to him. And so you see in these verses, and so when Moses makes this pole, and it's not the serpent that saves them, it's their faith. And so on today, it's not it's your faith that you believe. Amen. That you believe in Jesus Christ. And that is what saved the Israelites. It was the fact, it wasn't the serpent on the pole. It was the fact that when they looked to the serpent, that they were healed. It was the fact that God made a way from them, even though they were yet in their sin, that God made a way for them to be healed. And when we go to John 3, 14 through 15, and he is talking to, and Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he has some questions. And he wants to know, Jesus, like, you know, you say we have to be born again. How can we go back into our mother's womb? And Jesus tells him that you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. And he also begins to tell him that just as the bronze serpent is lifted up, I'm going to be lifted up as well. And when I'm lifted up, you're going to be able to live. And so, because when you read in those verses, the serpent, when the Israelites look to the serpent, they live. And so when we look to Jesus Christ on the cross, we live. And so the cross represents everything that he did for us. The cross represents all the sin. And so the bronze serpent, it was sin. So when the Israelites looked at the serpent, it reminded them of their sin. And so when we think about the cross, that Jesus was nailed to the cross, he was sinless. He took on your sin. He was sinless. It's nothing that he did. But John 3:16 said that God so loved you and you and you that he sent his only begotten son to die for you, so therefore that you can live. And so therefore, when we look at the cross and we look and see what Jesus has done for us, that we can look and we can live on today. Because what the enemy wants us to do, he wants us to look into everything except Jesus. He wants us to look into the money to be healed. He wants us to look into the marriage to be healed. He wants us to look to the job to be healed. He wants us to look in all these places but to Jesus. Isaiah 45:22 says, look into me and be saved. The money can't save us. We talk about this almost every time. The money can't save us. And some of us still believe that if I have just a little more money, things are going to be all right. And it won't. The marriage cannot save us. We go into marriages thinking that it can't do that for us. It can't fill the void that Jesus can do. We look into the job. Well, Lord, if you just take me high on my job, then, you know, it won't do that. The Lord says, look to him to be saved. Look to him to fill the void. Look to him to heal the broken heart. Look to him to give you the answers. So many times we look everywhere else but up. Psalms 21 tells us, the question is, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? You have to know where your help comes from on today. You have to know that your help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and the earth. He is the creator of all these things that we're looking to help us. Our help comes from him. That when he died on the cross, that when he took those beatings and when that he took those licks, he took them for you. That you don't have to stay in your mess. That you don't have to stay in your sin. That you don't have to stay bound to trouble. That you can walk in the victory. And he just didn't stay there. That he resurrected and he defeated death for you. That you can look to him and ask God, what do I need to do? And he will provide you with an answer. Hebrews 12:2 says, tells us to fix our eyes on the Lord. Fix. Fix means to stay. Not fix your eyes on the Lord today, but then take your eyes off him tomorrow. It says to fix, to focus your eyes on the Lord. He's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so on today, I encourage, on today that I tell you that to look to the Lord, to look to the Lord to where your help comes from, to look to the Lord to give you the answer, to look to the Lord to tell you which direction to go to look to the Lord. Because everything that we try to look to answer questions or to make us feel better, it doesn't work. It only gives us temporary satisfaction. And what we find, we find ourselves in the same situation we was before. So I encourage you on today. I'm coming in, Pastor. I encourage you on today to look. Look and live. See, the enemy, he wants you to not look and die. But God wants you to look, because when you look at the Lord, you see all the things that he's done for you. See, when you get your eyes off of the Lord, you forget. That's what the Israelites did. Their focus got off of the Lord. They began to focus on how they were feeling. They begin, and I know that God gives us feelings feelings to feel. But when we take them and we allow those feelings to become idols and we sit in that, we begin to take our eyes off the Lord. We begin to take our eyes off all the things that he's doing for us, all the ways that he's made, all the things that he saved us from. So I just want us to look and live. I don't want us to die. I want us, the word says that look for eternal life. That all these things, like, we can't take this away from us. It's so much going on in this world. People are dying left to right. Things are happening. And people are losing their mind because they don't have Jesus. And we come into this church house just about every Sunday, and we choose not to look to the Lord. And we soon forget when we walk out that door on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. But the Lord, the word is here. He says, look to me. Look to me and be saved. Look to me and be healed. Look to me. And I will give you what you stand in need of. And so, Father God, I thank you that we can look. That we can look and that we can live. That we don't have to die a physical death and also a spiritual death. That God can restore us. That God can restore our spirit. He can restore our mind. Because all of that, the pleasures, the all of that of the earth can't do nothing for us. And so I encourage us when that feeling begins to rise, when we begin to start questioning God, I encourage us to look to the word for our answer, for the encouragement. That if God, if you saved me when I was in my home crying, you the same God that can get me through whatever I'm going through today. Like he withholds no good thing from us. And so I know that he's a healer. I know that he's a provider. I know that he's a way maker. So I want us to look and I want us to live. Amen. Amen. Amen.